The scripture this morning is out of the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars. If you are able to count them, then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And he said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, and a female goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought them all to these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. And when the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your servants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Rephaim, the Amorites and the Canaanites, the Girgashites and the Jebusites. This is the word of the Lord. I bet you didn't think I could pronounce those words, did you? Only a preacher would be interested in pronouncing them. Nobody else does. A test will be given after the service. This morning, instead of calling him Abram, I'm going to call him his more familiar name of Abraham because I will repeat it constantly. But this passage here, a lot of times we overlook certain things in the Old Testament, and I find a lot of hidden jewels in the Old Testament. The title of my sermon is called The Faithful God of Good News. I can't remember the Hebrew translation of good news in Hebrew, but in Greek it's called euangelion, which means good news. That's where we get the word evangelism and evangelist from that. But God, and let me say this, tell you very specifically, God is the God of good news. So many times we hear in religion, and particularly Christianity, only the negative. And that is not the correct interpretation, because our faith should not be negative. Yes, we will encounter negative things. We will have negative experiences. But our faith and our relation to God should never be negative. I always remember my previous church, I had an elder and his wife who was the deacon. We had a little euphemism, a nickname for him. We called him Doom and Gloom. And we always knew when something comes up, they would always find the dark side of things. You know, the sky was going to fall in like Chicken Little or something. They were the nicest and sweetest people, but they always were dismal. They always had a dismal look in life. They were one of my two of my strongest supporters in the church, but at the same time, I knew exactly when somebody would suggest something, they would find something negative to bring up. But, you know, perhaps every now and then we do need somebody to throw a wrench in it. It may make us think a little bit more and think about how more creative we are to avoid trying to get a negative response from people. But, you know, everyone has faith in something. Some people have little faith and others have great faith. But the focus of faith, of course, is God. We don't need a measuring stick about one person's faith versus another person's faith. That would be judging. But whether it is little or strong, it is faith. If we reflect upon what the Bible speaks about faith, there is an undeniable conclusion that faith is built up on a solid foundation, who is God. Faith isn't something that is turned off and on like a light switch. Faith is a lifestyle and lived daily. Frequently, people will respond to a particular remark or theory by saying, I don't believe it. They may call that being a realist, but in actuality, it is a form of skepticism acquired by negative experiences, and people do become conditioned by their circumstances. We are all that way, and we end up becoming skeptics in many ways. Because of numerous disappointments, we are tempted to believe in nothing or no one. Such sentiment could almost be categorized as religious agnosticism or atheism dressed in religious clothes. That's what leads to sometimes where our doubts overwhelm us in that regard. When promised something, we often respond by saying, "I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it." The promise is, even if we do see it, we often don't believe it. And it requires proof. As we know, in the post-resurrection, where what we call doubting Thomas, he needed proof. He's a good example of what somebody that was very skeptical, but Christ showed him otherwise. Many people today are searching for something, but end up constructing a faith that is based on a faulty foundation that will collapse when a crisis approaches. I remember students when I was in seminary, some would come in with that star in the eyes look, like, you know, that, oh my goodness, I'm clever, I'm smart, I have it all put together. And they were fairly recent converts to the faith. They had this pie-in-the-sky mentality to think seminary was a glorified Sunday school class. Well, it's not a glorified Sunday school class. It takes hard work, and you are challenged. You are challenged. A novice should never go to seminary. But I'll tell you what, I loved it. I would have been a permanent, eternal student there if I could have. It was so wonderful. But you know what happens to those people? When their train hit a track that had been some damaged, they jumped the track and they derailed. Their faith fragmented. You don't have to go to seminary to see people with a fragmented faith. It may be an encounter in the church somewhere along the way. Somebody might have said something wrong, maybe told somebody, their earrings looked awful, or maybe the carpet in the church needed a different color. Whatever it could be, it does happen, unfortunately. You know, even when we are sure that God is the facilitator of our faith, it does not automatically guarantee that barriers to faith can be completely eliminated. But now listen carefully. We look at our lives and wonder how anything can be done about doubts. Abraham faced occasional roadblocks to a healthy faith. You remember the story of his family that left the city of Ur and went to Haran. It was a pretty big journey going from that area into what is now Israel. I mean, it wasn't easy. You didn't have rest areas. You didn't have cracker barrels. You just had to go, and you took the livestock with you. It was a rough experience. So Abraham lived by faith. But it doesn't say that his faith was continuously strong. He had to be supported by God. But God did promise Abraham, as I just read in the scripture, that he promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. But we have to remember this. Abraham was elderly. He was 100 years old, or somewhere in that range. His wife Sarah was 90 years old. You remember a few weeks ago, I mentioned about Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, and she was 90 herself. You know, it goes to show you God, and I said this, God uses people of any age, and it seems like the geriatric set in the Bible gets pretty good presentation, doesn't it? And so Abraham was 100, but God reaffirmed this promise to him of a son. But you know, the question is, how can anybody have a child that late in life? Well, maybe they lived healthier than we do today. Faith or trusting in God accomplishes a number of things, but primarily it's a closer relationship to God. Scripture said that Abraham was strengthened in his faith. The benefit of faith is that it nurtures and strengthens us towards spiritual maturity. Abraham was fully persuaded that God had the power to achieve what God had promised him. His son Isaac was born as a result. faith establishes a meaningful life which enables and grants us possession of long-awaited blessings. Now, Abraham's foundation of faith, we know, was God, and is in he believed that sincerely. But God must always be the source, the object, and basis for faith. Our faith rests upon the reliability of God, not upon the changing feelings of the human heart. Do you ever have those moments where your things are going smoothly, and you say, oh, God really loves me, and then you get something, and it happens. I had that happen to me Thursday. It was a beautiful day. I'd been down there at the church and all that, and I'd gone home, and guess what? I checked in the mailbox. I had a registered letter from the IRS, and I haven't found it yet because the mail carrier hasn't brought it back, and I keep thinking, well, what are they going to do to me now, you know? Probably nothing, because I have met people from the IRS. They do have some compassion in their bloodstream. But the thing is, those little worries can sort of sidetrack you from growing closer to God because you're so caught up trying to figure out, how am I going to get out of this mess? Why don't we leave it to God to help us out in there? Now, I'm not saying we sit by with our arms folded and recline in our rocking chair and do nothing about it. I'm not saying that. But what I'm really emphasizing is that perhaps sometimes our faith does get a little bit distracted and we end up sort of moving away from God. And that's not good. We need to get our act together and say, God, I'm powerless. I'm limited. You know, we all have our limitations. What you may have as a strong point may be somebody else's weakness. It happens to all of us. So in situations where you find yourself up against a stone wall, that's when you say, God, help me through that stone wall. That is what it takes. That is what it takes. Our faith does rest upon the reliability of God. For example, Winston Churchill is probably considered the greatest world leader of the 20th century. Churchill courageously led Great Britain during World War II to victory. However, if you know anything about Churchill's life, it wasn't always that way. He wasn't always popular, not considered leadership material. During World War I, as First Lord of the Admiralty of the British Navy, Churchill was blamed for one of the most cataclysmic disasters of the war. It happened and many lives were lost. He was blamed for it. He was humiliated, and he was humbled. He took a back bench in Parliament without much influence in government affairs. It looked as if he was finished at the end of his rope. And we've all been there. It looks like, well, we permanently shelved. But the mid-30s came around, and he was accused. He started speaking again. His voice was beginning to be heard in speeches. But what he said was not very well received or liked because he was accused of being a warmonger and an alarmist by the status quo. Churchill was concerned about the massive aggressive greed, or as he described, of Herr Hitler and the rearmament of Germany. So when World War II erupted in 1939, Churchill was invited, of all people, to join Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain's war cabinet and return to his former position as First Lord of the Admiralty. So it seems all things were forgiven. But as Winnie entered his office building on the first day of the job, a young sentinel stood at attention, and Churchill then showed the sentinel his security clearance card. The young man replied smilingly that he knew Churchill's identity. The reason was because dozens of telegrams, yes, they used telegrams in those days, had just been cabled to the far-flung corners of the British Empire with only three words. Winston is back. It was said he threw his umbrella and derby hat in the air and cheered that after hearing those three words. 6 months later, Churchill became the Prime Minister of Great Britain. And yes, Churchill had his wilderness years of seemingly endless exile, as we all do. Some of you may be in your wilderness years right now, and you'll say, what is your wilderness years? If you're kind of in a low-key state, you feel like, I'm not being useful very much. Well, look at Winston Churchill and think about him. Winston Churchill didn't flounder. He did not give up. He did not surrender. Because Churchill was a person of faith. Yes, Churchill was a person of faith. He did not rely upon his own wits all the time. He prayed regularly. He relied upon God's strength to lead him through. And heaven knows, during the Blitz in London, he had to rely upon God because bombs were dropping all around him. But God was standing beside Churchill. God had not forgotten him. God had not forgotten Abraham, and neither will God ever forget us. We put our faith in God's word because of God, due to the fact that God stands behind them with completely reliable promises and authority. Abraham took God seriously, and that is what we should do. That was the key to Abraham's success and survival, was he believed in God and took God seriously. And that is faith. Are you struggling about faith? We all do. Know this, God acts through many avenues. God does act through many avenues, such as family, friends, life experiences, colleagues, ministers, and yes, even by studying the Bible and prayer. You know, we may be prone to give up and to surrender. It may be seemingly overwhelming, but God won't give up. Never ends. Isn't that the good news we want to hear this morning? Let us pray. Oh God, help us when our faith falters and wavers. Help us, oh God, when circumstances seem to just hammer us into the ground. Lift us up, O Lord. May we see you during all the smoke that happens to us every day. Whatever it is, whether it's a small or big crisis, whether it's an issue that we have with our health or with family or friends or at work, help us, O God, to know that you are still in control of all. We give thanks always that you are always on our side through thick and thin. This we pray through the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.